Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 97. In this episode, I'll discuss an article about sedation choice and infection risk, answer the drug information question, is phentolamine superior to terbutaline for treatment of extravasation, and share a resource for crowdsourced medical lecture notes. The article for this episode is titled The Relationship Between Sedatives, Sedative Strategy, and Healthcare-Associated Infection, A Systematic Review. The lead author is Daniel A. Karoff, and it was published early online for the journal Infection Control and Hospital Epidemiology. There's a good deal of research on the link to sedative regimens with complications like delirium, but not on other complications like infection. A recent topic of conversation in the Pharmacy Nation Slack group, which you can sign up for at pharmacynation.org, was the idea of running propofol in a peripheral line to decrease the risk of central line infection. The rationale being that the lipid emulsion base for propofol is an excellent growth medium for pathogens. Given that discussion, when I saw the title for this article, my curiosity was piqued. The author sought to better characterize the relationship between sedation strategy and infection. A systematic literature review was performed where 70 articles were reviewed. The three most common sedatives for mechanically ventilated patients were benzodiazepines, propofol, and dexmedetomidine. Not surprising. Each of these agents have been shown to have immunologic effects based on either human or animal data. Of the 70 articles reviewed, 14 reported healthcare-associated infection risk. A meta-analysis was not performed of the articles. Some notable findings from those articles that were reviewed include a cohort study identified propofol was associated with less ventilator-associated pneumonia versus lorazepam, an observational study associated benzodiazepines and propofol but not dexmedetomidine with the development of ventilator-associated events, a non-randomized, non-blinded study found more ventilator-free days in ICU patients who received no sedation during mechanical ventilation compared with those who were sedated. A retrospective analysis associated the use of sedation with a twofold increased risk of pneumonia, and a case control study found that use of benzodiazepines prior to intubation increased the risk of infection-related ventilator-associated complications. The authors concluded that infection rates appear to be highest with benzodiazepines, intermediate with propofol, and lowest with dexmedetomidine. More data are needed, but studies thus far suggest that a better understanding of sedation practices and infection risk may help hospital epidemiologists and critical care practitioners find new ways to mitigate infection risk in critically ill patients. A notable omission from this review was any attempt to look at the impact of opioids on healthcare-associated infection. I'd like to see either prospective controlled studies or a well-done meta-analysis before making any changes to sedation practice for the purpose of reducing infection risk. And the drug information question for this episode is phentolamine superior to terbutaline for the treatment of extravasation? My answer is, no one knows, but I'll take phentolamine. I discussed terbutaline as an alternative to phentolamine for extravasation back at pharmacyjoe.com/episode 6, when there was a phentolamine shortage. It was actually removed from the market for a while, or at least manufacturers had stopped making it. Now phentolamine is back on the market, but at a much higher price than it was before. Understandably, this is causing clinicians to consider terbutaline over phentolamine for cost reasons. I can't locate any comparative studies of these two agents. Despite phentolamine's higher cost, I prefer to use it over terbutaline if it's available. My rationale is simply that phentolamine has been studied more and clinicians are more familiar with it than with terbutaline. And the resource for this episode is MetaWikis.com. This is a collaborative platform where medical students and anyone can share notes in a format similar to Wikipedia. Registration is free, but it's required before you can really access the content on the site. Once you're on the inside, you can view, edit, or create pages on any medical subject you wish. I'm working on creating a page about QTC drug interactions based on the content in episode 12. Listeners can support the show when they shop using my link to Amazon. It will cost you no extra money, and I will receive a small commission from Amazon. Just bookmark and use my link, pharmacyjoe.com/shop, to take you to Amazon each time you shop. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.